Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Lama Tantrapa with the Secrets of Qigong Master, the radio talk show sponsored by Academy of Qidao, the first and only school in the world offering professional training in Qigong coaching. Today, I'm very excited to interview Dr. Roger Yanke, who has been on our show last year and was invited to share with us a little more about the current state of Qigong, as well as how it can be integrated more effectively into the lives of American people and people living all over the world. Dr. Yanke began his practice of Tai Chi and Qigong in 1967. He has been to China 8 times to research qi cultivation and vitality enhancement in hospitals, universities, temples, and sacred mountain sites. He has lectured internationally and is the author of 2 best-selling books on Tai Chi, Qigong, and self-healing, The Healer Within and The Healing Promise of Qi. He commenced his activity in the field of health promotion, disease management, corporate wellness benefits assessment, and productivity enhancement in 1978, when he developed a series of retreats targeted at elders and executives. In 1980, Dr. Yanke moved his clinical Chinese medicine and wellness consultation practices to Santa Barbara, California. In 83, he co-founded Health Action, which is a clinic as well as a training, consulting, and strategic planning organization. Its purpose is to assist hospitals, agencies, communities, corporations, schools, and other organizations to focus on health improvement and community empowerment. The primary program, which was developed and refined over 25 years, and is the Health Action Wellness Coaching Program that uses the Circle of Life coaching system. In 2000, Dr. Yanke founded the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, which has trained over 300 mind-body practice teachers and over 500 Tai Chi practice leaders. Several years later, he established the Healer Within Foundation to bring the benefits of mind-body practice and wellness coaching to populations that are otherwise unable to afford the benefits. Qigong is the storehouse of ancient wisdom for contemporary times, from healing to health to longevity to immortality. You can see more of Dr. Yanke's work at the following website, www.instituteofintegralqigongandtaichi.org. www.taichieasy.org and www.feelthechi.com, spelled with a Q-I. Welcome to our program, Dr. Yanke.
Oh, Lama, thank you so much. I appreciate you. That's kind of a long introduction there. I'm sorry about that. I didn't expect that you would read through all that, but I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, you have a lot of accomplishments under your belt, and it is great to let our listeners know a little bit about your background. Now, without any further ado, let me ask you a little bit about your current work. When I interviewed you last year, you shared quite a bit about the history of Qigong and also your personal history of how you got involved with this wonderful practice. Now, what are you working on right now?
Well, thank you. It's interesting because myself personally, I'm working on cultivation at the deepest level, my own cutting edge, right? I mean, that's what Qigong is all about, is having a practice of self-realization and reaching in a purposeful sort of way towards a relationship with the aspect of oneself that is eternally well and cannot be harmed. And that's a fairly significant discipline having to do with overcoming, the conditioning of life and so forth. So my own cutting edge is cultivating qi and cultivating virtue. Say it again?
Oh, what do you mean by virtue?
Okay, now remember, I just want to be sure that we don't forget the original question, which is what are we working on, which sounds like a more outward going. But inward, you know, for the side of the cultivation, the deeper cultivation side of things, the Qigong is not so much an exercise, or at least not a physical exercise. It's a spirit, mind, body exercise. And the aspect of oneself that is not the body itself, not the substance of the body, and yet not the transcendental, eternal self, but more like the personality. The personality has, by the way, called heart-mind. X-I-N is the pronunciation of the Chinese character xin. Xin. Xin is the characterological self, the personality, the hopes, the fears, the dreams, the creativity, the intelligence, and so forth. And so when I talk about cultivating qi, I mean cultivating life force and cultivating consciousness. And when I talk about cultivating virtue, I mean a particular aspect of consciousness. Virtue is not only just being a good person, which is more like virtuous. Virtue is any sort of currency, personal currency, of values, shall we say, virtues. So hard work is a virtue. Industriousness, compassion is a virtue. So that's what I mean.
In other words, there is a spiritual component to your practice that enhances not only the quality of your health, but also affects your belief system, perhaps, and well-being from the point of view of that eternal part of yourself you were just talking about.
That's correct. And even in the work, when we get to the practical side of the dissemination of Qigong and Tai Chi, in hospitals and social service agencies and school systems, universities, the military, corporate environments, and so forth, it still has this beautiful quality of being, it's an exercise. Yes, it's a stress mastery practice. But how it happens at its deepest level, Qigong, is that when one, on purpose, with intent, disassociates from the past and the regrets and victories of the past and the anxieties and thrills of looking into the future and limits oneself to paying attention to the present. What's present in the present isn't all the stuff of life and all of the things that we will do or what we have done. What's present in the present is our largest self. Now, we typically don't pay very much attention to our largest self because we're very busy paying attention to the traumas of the past and the anxieties of the future. When we teach people, whether they're in a YMCA, a hospital, a military unit, a first responders unit, one of the reasons why Qigong is so powerful is that in that present moment focus, one is automatically pushed into or drawn into a relationship with the eternal self. And the eternal self is wise. The eternal self is deep, and the eternal self is tapped into the nature of oneness and the primordial unity of all things and beings. And so this spiritual quality of Qigong that you were just reflecting on, you don't have to say, okay, well, now we're going to do spiritual Qigong. Well, let's stop doing physical Qigong, and let's now start doing spiritual Qigong. All Qigong is spiritual Qigong as long as a person is focusing on the aspect of their nature, which is in the present moment and therefore is connected with their eternal, profoundly wise eternal self.
I will definitely be interested in returning to the discussion about the spiritual aspects of Qigong. I also want to be mindful of the original question I posted and what are you working on now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can go a little bit more into what is it that you're doing externally, so to speak.
Sure, sure. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, in terms of just like reach outreach, well, let me take it one step back, which is to reflect just briefly on the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi. That is the institute, our training and research institute. And by the way, the short form of the website on that is iiqtc.org, iiqtc.org. And through the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, we have an array of things that we are working on externally. The first thing is that we're training teachers and practice leaders. Now, the teacher, we'll come back to that in a minute. We'll come back to the training side of things in a minute because it's a fairly robust discussion, and I want to be sure that we really give the concept of training, not just at the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, but in the context of the modern world, training teachers and practice leaders in the modern world. The second thing that we're doing is research. So we have been involved with some grants that have come from a number of different directions. We're working on a grant with the University of, it's Arizona State University, nursing school there, which is working on a breast cancer research study that uses a protocol that was developed by the IIQTC. And we're also just finishing, we just got an article accepted for publication by, honestly, I'm not a wizard or an expert at all of this, but from what I understand, one of the most prestigious journals of health promotion in the Western world is called the American Journal of Health Promotion. And our article that a couple of our colleagues here at the IIQTC collaborated to produce this comprehensive review of all the randomized controlled trials on Qigong and Tai Chi, all in one article. It's an absolutely, I've been working on this project for 4 or 5 years, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful body of research all collected in one paper. And, you know, we talk about evidence-based a lot. And in the modern era, in healthcare and medicine, if something doesn't have a basis in true evidence, it doesn't have as much power as if it does have a base in true evidence. And so research is the pathway to demonstrate the evidence. And what we found when we did this review was that there are 77 bona fide randomized controlled trials that have been done since 1992, between 1992 and 2008. And so that evidence base is profound. It is weighty. It is mature. There are things to be researched still in the future, but that's amazing. And that article, by the way, is available for people to review for free. In other words, just go there if you go to iiqtc.org and then go to the left navigation bar and go to about halfway down to the research page and click through to the research page. And the top article is this comprehensive review of the benefits of Qigong and Tai Chi that will be being published in the American Journal of Health Promotion. The second document on that page is called it's the table or the chart of all those articles. It's very, very impressive. And while we're on research, let me just say one more thing, is that one of the most interesting new breakthroughs in the area of Qigong and other mind-body practices is some research that was done by Herbert Benson on the effect of mind-body practice on the relaxation response. And there's an article on that research page down towards the bottom called 21st Century Breakthrough. And that article actually describes how Benson and company studying Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, mindfulness, and a few other things have actually proven that the DNA repairs itself. Now, this is absolutely cutting edge, never been done before, breakthrough information. And as soon as I saw Benson's article, I went to the Medline, and I put in two words. I put in the words gene expression, which is the key word for this whole idea of gene recovery, and then the second word was Qigong, thinking that the only thing that would come up was Benson's article. And in fact, two articles came up on, literally, on the whole concept of life extension through DNA recovery and Qigong. And so that article called 21st Century Breakthrough is towards the bottom of that page. And then, Lama, one more thing. What we're doing now is we're beginning to work with more and more and more with social service agencies, and I include in that schools, senior centers, senior programs, hospital-associated programs, the military, working with first responders, nurses, and so forth, so groups of professionals. And then finally, I think that this project is far enough along that it would be reasonable to announce it. And I want people to, if you write this down and then put it on your calendar or something, and then come back to the IIQTC website, IIQTC.org website, in 2 weeks or so, we will be announcing the release of this book that's being translated into English, and it is the official book on medical Qigong from Chinese medical schools. And the University of Maryland, in a cooperation with Chinese university, medical universities, and Institute, the IQTC, and a number of other translators and writers and experts in Chinese medicine on Qigong, translating this book into English. It's a big project. A lot of translators from China who are taking from Chinese to Chinese oriented English, and then myself and another team of our professors and doctors and so forth are taking it from the Chinese interpretation of English to the English interpretation of English. I have not thought of this book, but it's part of the thread. It's important that I translate it because of the doctor of Chinese medicine asked me to do this clinic.
Something going on our telephone line. I hope our listeners understand that you are speaking on the phone, and I think there are some challenges with our communication. Let me just try to repair this connection because it sounds like you are being interrupted by some vibration. So just a moment. Right. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Roger Yonke is going to return in just a moment. I'm reconnecting with him, and 3, 2, 1. You're listening to The Secrets of Qigong Masters, a radio talk show sponsored by Academy of Qidao, the first and only school in the world offering professional training in Qigong coaching. You're listening to the interview with Dr. Roger Yonke. Roger, can you hear me well? I cannot hear you. Can you please call us back in? Just hang up the phone, please, and call us back in. There is no way to understand what you're saying. Sorry about that. All right, everyone. He is going to return in just a moment. And while you're listening to me talking to you, I want to make sure that all our listeners understand that Dr. Roger Yonke is one of the foremost experts in Qigong in North America right now, and very well-known researcher and popularizer of Qigong in this country and worldwide. Now, I want to ask Dr. Roger Yonke the question about his perspective on the current state of healthcare in America, because there is a significant debate going on in Washington and perhaps all over the state about this new healthcare reform that initiative that is just proposed by the White House, President Obama, and perhaps we can just spend a minute looking at the possibility of perhaps integrating Qigong better into the healthcare system in the United States. Do you have any thoughts on that? Roger, I can't hear you. Sorry. You're on air. I can't hear a word you're saying. Okay. Let's try it again. Would you please call me back in and we'll connect. All right. There he is calling us back in, and hopefully it will be a better connection now. One of the challenges of doing the internet radio talk shows where most of the guests are scattered all over the world. Myself, am in Portland, Oregon, and Dr. Yonke is in Santa Barbara, California. So hopefully there are no major storms happening in Santa Barbara, and we'll be able to hear him in a moment just fine. I know that there have been several major winter storms on the east coast of the United States, and hopefully all of our listeners are doing well, whoever is living in that part of the world. And, of course, spring is just around the corner. So with warmer weather, I'm sure that things are going to get better. We won't be affected by the storms as much. Roger?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear very well. Thank you for calling back in. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. I was curious about your perspective on the healthcare reform and how Qigong can be integrated into the healthcare system in the United States better.
Yeah, thank you for asking. To go to just generally for just maybe 15 or 20 seconds, healthcare reform is a political process which is focused on the idea of coming up with a plan for how to finance medicine. So my first thing to say about this is that it's not healthcare reform, it's medical financing reform. So as a doctor of Chinese medicine, and also I have a background, I think you read some of this in my bio, I have a background in consulting for hospitals. I've consulted for a lot of hospitals. I've actually lectured at the American Medical Association on what we call the self-applied health enhancement methods, which is basically code for Qigong.
Right.
And so I'm very, very familiar with the politics of healthcare and medicine. And what I'm absolutely clear on is that there's nobody having any discussion, any meaningful discussion on healthcare. The only discussion that's happening is on medical finance. So now let's drop that because it's a useless way to spend time, and let's go to how the healthcare system will be, in fact, reformed by people, because we live in a nation that is supposedly by the people and for the people, and the only people who can really remember that are the people. And so I would invite your listening audience to really get a hold of, we all need to get a hold of ourselves and answer the question, who's my primary care person? Who's my primary care person? Me. It's not a doctor, it's me. Who's my doctor? Who's my most important doctor of internal medicine? Me. Where does internal medicine come from? Me. So everything that we do to try to convince ourselves that somebody else out there should fix the healthcare system or fix our health is just looking into a political system and an enterprise system, that means a commerce system, a sales system, for somebody to understand myself better than I can understand myself. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It's a very, very embarrassing process that we're involved in. So here's the solution. The solution is the human body makes medicine. The human system literally makes medicine. Like molecules are produced in the human system that are more powerful than pharmaceutical molecules for our well-being. They may not be more powerful in the larger sense, because these molecules from pharmaceuticals, if mixed in wrong combinations, can actually kill people. And in fact, negative drug interactions is the third cause of death in the United States and Canada. That's actually a statistic. Nobody knows about it, of course, because nobody's talking about it. So we make a medicine. The Chinese call it elixir. This elixir is produced within the human body for no cost. So if you think of it, if you lived in a country that had a health cost crisis and everybody figured out that they could make medicine for free, wouldn't that have meaning? Wouldn't there be some relevance in that? And of course the answer is hell yes, there's a lot of relevance in that. So in my work, we don't bother listening to the news about healthcare or trying to communicate. You know, we write letters to our senators on a fairly regular basis. I did it the other day. But in the primary focus and the primary direction or trajectory of our work is to help people to understand how powerful they are. And that's why we're working so much with social service agencies, because we want to drive this message not only into the entrepreneurial new age crowd, but literally to drive the message of a free healthcare system into the crowds of people who live in less enfranchised communities, people who are underserved and so forth. Because poor people are sitting around in hospitals waiting for medicines that they don't need.
Or
Qigong is a power solution.
Right. Oftentimes, as far as I know, the statistics, there is a statistic about how the majority of visits to doctors are for body pain, or physical pain, that can be easily addressed through Qigong meditation and perhaps self-hypnosis. So all of these are self-administered conducted interventions.
That's correct. That's exactly correct. In fact, the statistic is that 70% of all disease is preventable through behavioral practices, and it's probably more like 80, and 70% of medical visits are not necessary. And that 70 to 80% of all diseases by being preventable means that 70% of every dollar that we spend in healthcare is being spent treating preventable diseases.
What could be preventable had it been addressed in time?
Correct.
Well, and so given that, I would imagine that Qigong could play a much more significant role in the healthcare even not industry, but I would say in the healthcare culture, and not only this nation, but worldwide, of course. But this nation is definitely in dire need of somebody to help figure out how to stop spending trillions of dollars on medicine, where the most effective medicine is within and it's free of charge. So how do we do that?
I think your key word there is we. If we say, how can they do this, then we're going to still be waiting around for them to do it. But if we ask the question by saying, how can we do this, I think we're doing it right now. I think that the people on the phone who don't already understand this are starting to understand this. I think the people who are on the phone who already do understand this are understanding it better. Everybody's getting more and more frustrated. Everybody's getting more and more angry. And as people move from complacency to anger, they start having more energy. So there's chi in this all this frustration that we have. Now, it's important, I think very important, to keep in mind that the medical system, so I'm gonna continue to use the word medical system instead of healthcare system. The medical system is set up so that people believe that they need it, and that they don't. They're average individuals are of the opinion or living under the assumption that the only time that healthcare happens is when you're not well. So in other words, everybody's waiting until they're not well to do anything in the, quote, medical system. So what we, not they, because they aren't going to do anything, we can already see that, what we need to do is, it's so incredibly simple. It's the three adjustments. Adjust the body posture, creating more room for the organs, and more capacity for the chi to flow or function efficiently. Deepen the breath. The breath practice has a multitude of physiological, emotional, and spiritual effects, all of which are absolutely, completely simple to access. And in fact, if you haven't taken a deep breath yet, please do, because why would you wait? How much does it cost? You know, whose diagnosis did you need? What pharmacy do you have to go to have a deep breath? You don't even have to leave the seat that you're sitting in now. And so adjusting the posture, deepening the breath, and then utilizing intent to manage the operation or the behavior of the mind. And as those people who are on this call who know about Qigong know, that Qigong is a little less an exercise and a whole lot more a healing practice and a meditation using physical movements sometimes. And so when we do the three, what we call the three intentful corrections, or we also call the three mindful alignments, or we also call the three Qigong adjustments, which are, by the way, the same three adjustments that are used in yoga, Chinese Qigong, Indian yoga, or Indian Qigong, Chinese yoga, however you want to say it, and how we will make a difference in the healthcare system is that we'll actually begin to use the healthcare system, which is the system wherein people take care of their health. And then we'll delay our need for the medical system that the news and the policymakers call the healthcare system. I mean, don't you think it might even be like some sort of a conspiracy to make us believe that healthcare and medicine are the same thing? I don't think there's any one horribly mean person out there who's done this, but it did happen, and people do believe that.
I think it's a matter of confusion.
It's total confusion.
And also attempts to relegate responsibility for one's own health to somebody else. Isn't that why insurance companies exist? Is that the person actually wants to relegate their responsibility for paying for their healthcare bills, or medical bills rather, so that somebody else would pay for them.
Correct.
And if they can't pay, and if they ran out of money, well, maybe they will just file bankruptcy. So in other words, nobody's going to pay them.
When, that's correct.
In fact, instead of creating these bills in the first place and then hoping that somebody is going to pay for them, or if nothing else works, just go bankrupt, maybe we can actually do something so that it doesn't even happen. Because the ounce of prevention goes much farther than 1,000 pounds of treatment.
Yep, that's correct. So now let's take a peek at this from the perspective of Chinese medicine in comparison to Western medicine. And by the way, I have, in my own life, had a surgery. My wife has had a surgery which actually supported her in having a hearing in one ear that she would have lost it in otherwise. And one of my sons had surgery for a broken bone, and et cetera. And another of my sons has had a arthroscopic surgery on his knee. So I need everybody to know that what I'm going to say right now about Western medicine isn't intended to mean that it doesn't have its place, because obviously it does. But think of it this way. In the Western world, we're just figuring out that there's something called wellness. It's true that there used to be someone in the family called Grandma who knew a lot about wellness, but we don't pay attention to Grandma anymore. And so our relationship with wellness is that we're only just figuring it out. And most people in the medical system, now not the healthcare system, the healthcare system is where people take care of their health. It's called health, and care means caring for health. The disease system, which is managing diseases, and including recovering from diseases, but mostly focused on disease, is problematic in this way, because at this point in history, over 95% of the people in the medical system have no health care training. And so for anybody to expect that they're going to get health care by seeking into the medical system, you're going to have to be going to, you know, very, very specialized clinics at Duke University and Princeton University and Harvard University and many of the hospitals who have tiny little integrative medicine programs. But this is changing and will continue to change. But the point is that in the Western world, healthcare is a secondary consideration. Wellness is something that doctors suggest to people after they've tried everything medical, which is totally backwards. Now, if you look at Chinese medicine, which is my medical license and my medical study and the healthcare system from the entire Chinese community, as well as Japanese and Korea and Vietnam and Cambodia, all of Asia has a version of this type of medicine or healthcare. And it's based... We'll call it Oriental medicine. The baseline concept of Oriental medicine is that instead of trying to find the problem and fixing it in the way that we do in Western medicine, the Chinese doctor or the Oriental doctor or the energy medicine doctor or practitioner looks at the individual and tries to find where is the power, where is the qi. And the way that disease is treated in Chinese medicine is by maximizing the righteous. This is actually a translation into English of an actual phrase that shows up in Chinese medicine all the time, which is enhance and nourish the righteous. Now, this is not a religious word about righteousness. It is a spirit-mind-body word about righteousness. And so the doctor isn't looking for the problem. The patient will, of course, describe the problem, but what the doctor's looking for is the qi. And when you find the qi, then you can use acupuncture, Qigong, herbal medicine, and meditation and so forth to be able to get the qi, to be able to function in a more balanced and harmonious way throughout the system. I hope I articulated that fairly well.
You did, and it sounds like this is still a job that a doctor would do. Now, what can we as lay people, well, I don't know if I can call myself a lay person, but what are most of the listeners who probably are lay people to promote their own wellness and well-being?
Yeah, well, of course, we all know that the answer is do qigong. And in Chinese medicine, you don't wait until after the doctor has failed to heal you to do qigong. You do qigong because your grandmother and your grandfather and your mom and your dad and everybody in your family does, and, you know, in a perfect, not everybody in China does qigong, of course. But the point is that wellness, instead of being a last resort, wellness in Chinese medicine is a first resort. Wellness is the bottom line. And so doctors don't wait until after their surgery hasn't worked to tell a person to do qigong. Doctors, or at least I as a Chinese doctor, when I first meet a person, I say to that individual, you know, yes, acupuncture is a treatment. Yes, we have a treatment called herbal medicine. Yes, we will be using some kinds of physical therapy or Chinese massage. But the most important part of the health recovery process, and I really love that word, that phrase, health recovery process, the most important part of the health recovery process doesn't come from the doctor, it comes from you. And the practice of body management, breath management, mind management, nutrition management, and, you know, when we say mind management, we mean thoughts. You know, what are your habitual thoughts that are constantly driving you into the hypersympathetic state? Hypersympathetic state means going all the time. You know, people are exhausted because they're so overwhelmingly motivated to try to be a better person, make more money, have more friends, find a lover, find a job. And we don't, as a society, we just don't have any kind of reverence for the idea of quiet inner observation.
We call it meditation sometimes, or just, you know, being instead of doing.
Correct. Being instead of doing.
Yes, I like this joke that, you know, we are human beings rather than human doing.
That's right.
And,
so,
go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I think that is very important to say here is that when we think of populations of people who are probably going to be the least interested in self-care, one of those populations that comes to mind is people like in the first responder side of things, like police, fire, and emergency medical folks. Another one is the military. And so in reporting on the landscape of Qigong and how it's penetrating the mainstream at this point, I would especially point to the first responders and the military. And we have had now over the years in our training programs, and let me just say briefly, and we can talk more about the whole landscape of training in a few minutes, but we have a 200-hour teacher training, Qigong and Tai Chi teacher program, and then we have a 25-hour practice leader program. And the practice leader program, the website for that is taichieasy.org, taichieasy.org. So the whole concept of bringing these trainings to these audiences that are typically not that interested in health management, people who have brutal types of jobs. They often have no time to pay attention to themselves and so forth. And we are now in very robust interactions with both the first responding community, fire and police and emergency medical, as well as the military. And just as an example, Lama, check this out. It's really fascinating. I had a meeting with a very high-ranking general who is actually in charge of a program for all branches of the military. This particular general is from the Army. However, the jurisdiction of that general's office is all branches of the service in regards to the area of brain trauma and PTSD prevention and recovery. And so, you know, we were having this meeting and so forth, and I was describing the idea, our idea, that if you don't teach a person Qigong before they're traumatized, they're too traumatized to learn it later. And so it's better, just using the Chinese model of healing, to maximize function in a well person, and easier to maximize wellness and function in a well person than it is to in a person who's traumatized or unwell or compromised either physiologically or emotionally. And so I was talking about, you know, using Qigong as a process of readiness, in other words, in training, and then as a process during deployment under fire, and then as a process on the return home into what's called reintegration into the family and the community. And the person, the general, said, yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do now. That's what we want to try to do, is we want to try to give tools to our soldiers previous to their deployment so that upon their return that they are already informed about mind-body practice, so that instead of learning, trying to teach someone who's traumatized to learn something new, you're actually re-engaging someone in a practice that they already have. Now, that is an example of a true healthcare system, and it's happening in our military, which is one of the most one of the areas where you would think that there'd be the least attention, or there traditionally has been the least attention on these things.
Well, one of my students is also an Army doctor working for the Pentagon, and she mentioned to me that they would be really happy to jump into promoting Qigong to their soldiers, and they already have at least one unit where they basically prepare the soldiers, specifically the members of the special forces designed to operate under a lot of stress. They train them in what they call resiliency training. And so she learned from my coaching that resiliency can be enhanced manyfold by practicing energy awareness. And so
correct.
I think that we're talking about the same thing, that resiliency or ability to deal with the stressors in the way that you don't get overstressed, so you have a post-traumatic stress disorder, it can be instituted as a part of perhaps even original boot camp type of
That's how it's going, and that's how it will continue to go, because, you know, we say is desperation is the mother of invention. And so as these social agencies and the military and the universities and the healthcare system, as the medical system continues to collapse under the weight of the fact that it's spending money to actually create an outcome that people can do at home for no cost, There are people getting smarter about that. Now that's going to happen, and it's probably not going to happen because our president or our Congress made it happen. It's going to happen because of you and I and the people that we work with on a regular basis. So I just want to be sure that we take a little time before we wrap up to talk about training in the United States, and then we have a training that we're enrolling right now where we're actually have arranged with my colleagues who are in charge of all this to be able to offer people a discount on this training. And so would you be open if we head in that direction?
This sounds great. Once again, we are listening to the interview with Dr. Roger Yonke, and we are about to find out what kind of special offer his organization prepared for the listeners of our show.
Let me just say one thing, because I believe that in equality and equal opportunity across a profession, that the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi is not the only training organization in the United States or in the world, and that everybody should feel free to communicate with us here and review our websites. I'll give you the websites again. The training of Qigong and Tai Chi in the United States and Canada and in the Western world, including Europe and Australia. These are all countries that we have trainees in, Canada, including Canada and Mexico and South America. So there's a lot of activity going on in the world right now around the whole concept of mind-body practice, mind-body energetics, and Tai Chi and Qigong, and energy medicine, and so forth. And so our two training programs are, we have a short program which is based in a very important consensus document that I want to point people to. Consensus means a lot of experts got together and came up with an agreement on a strategy. And we work with the University of Illinois, the National Council on Aging, our institute, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, and a nonprofit which we're associated with, which is called the Healer Within Foundation, and a funding organization called the Archstone Foundation, on a nearly $500,000 grant to convene a consensus conference. And in that consensus conference, we answered this one question. There were many questions that got answered, but here's one. Would it be fair and safe to have a Qigong and Tai Chi type training that was very brief, equaling somewhere between 16 and 30 hours? And the answer of all these experts, research people, policymakers, doctors, and even lawyers, actually, people who were looking at it from the point of view of the law, said that the situation in our society is desperate enough that because Tai Chi and Qigong are a teaching, they're not a therapy, particularly with 25 hours of training, they are a teaching, and the teacher doesn't diagnose the person, and in many cases there's no fee for the class. In other words, in a social service agency or at a community wellness, at a community center, and sometimes those programs are underwritten with taxes and grants, that it would be fair to have a brief program. So we have a program called Tai Chi Easy. And Tai Chi Easy is a 25-hour program. If you go to taichieasy.org, you can check into that 25-hour program. There's a button right on the front page. We're enrolling that program now. And then if you go to iiqtc.org, that's more our longer teacher training program, Qigong and Tai Chi teacher program, 200 hours. And there's a place there for you to put your email address in, and you can send us questions should you be inclined to get some information coming back. Now, here's the thing that I wanted to offer you, is that I convened with my colleagues. We're doing this Tai Chi Easy Practice Leader Training in March. in March 15th here in Santa Barbara. If you go to taichieasy.org and you click on that button that says Practice Leader Training Enrolling Now, and all the information about the training is right there. And then when you sign up, when you say, okay, I want to do this, when you go to the next page, before you put any information in about payment, there's a little box there called promo code, or promo. It might be just called promo, or it might be promo code. And the promo code that I want to give you is blog talk, BLOGTALK. Now, if it turns out that you go there and you put blog talk in and it does not go through for you, then what that means is that it's not set up yet and you can go and do it tomorrow. But it should be set up now. TaiChiEasy.org, go to the enrollment page, get all the information, put in the promo code, and it'll give you a $300 discount, which is enough to buy an airplane ticket. And we're going to be at a beautiful place. And, of course, you'll be working with people of like mind and so forth. So, Lama, thank you for the opportunity to communicate here with you, with your audience again. It's always a pleasure to be here. And thank you especially for making it possible for people to get to the IIQTC.org and go to the research page and see that beautiful paper on evidence. Try to remember.
I'm looking at your website right now.
Good. Thank you.
I'm trying to find that. I see the link to the research material. But
yes.
I clicked on the button of Practice Leader Training Enrolling Now. So I'm sure that
Were you at IIQTC or were you at Tai Chi Easy?
I'm at Tai Chi Easy. Should they be at IIQTC instead?
Nope. You should be at Tai Chi Easy. If you go to Enrolling Now, I would be very surprised if you didn't go to the page that's associated with that training. And I appreciate you taking a moment to, walk me and others through this, because I'm surprised that you're not finding what it was that I was claiming would be there. So I'm going to Tai Chi Easy now.
In no time.
If you push on that enroll Practice Leader in Training Enrolling Now, it'll take you right to the page that describes that. So I just can't imagine that it wouldn't. I'm on it now. And then you go down a ways and it tells you about the rates and so forth, and you click on there and say, I want to stay in single lodging, and next page the promo code will show up. So anyway, I really appreciate the fact that you're doing this show and the fact that you're opening the minds and hearts of people probably all over the world.
Well, we
really
definitely
honored.
Have listeners from all over the world. And one of the questions that I would like to ask you before we conclude our interview tonight is about the World Tai Chi and Qigong Day.
Beautiful.
This is something that happens all over the world. People can benefit from learning not only from the Chinese teachers or masters, but also from people from other countries. And I'm sure that this opportunity to communicate and network is really incredible gift to a lot of practitioners worldwide. How do you participate in that?
Well, I thank you. That's great. I love the idea of promoting the World Tai Chi and Qigong Day, is what its official title is. And I have been a friend, I could say, probably, or a colleague of Bill Douglas, who's the person who developed this in Kansas City originally. And the website is worldtaichiday.com, I think. Try it out and see what you get. And so I have participated in World Tai Chi Day events in New York, in Dallas, Texas, here in Santa Barbara. We've had World Tai Chi Day here in Santa Barbara on and off for years. We actually got a declaration from the mayor 1 year declaring it Santa Barbara Tai Chi Day, which was really exciting. And this is a beautiful effort on the part of Bill Douglas. If you go to his website, it's not always exactly that easy to find your way around, but if you take your time and click here and click there, you'll find a wealth of information about this project developed by Bill Douglas, who's a great giving soul. And I would also say, so anyway, that's worldtaichiday.com, and I'd like to put in a plug for a couple of other organizations. Do you mind?
I think that those organizations would appreciate it a whole lot.
Yeah, good. So there's the National Qigong Association, which is nqa.org. And the National Qigong Association is probably the most official membership organization in the United States for Qigong and Tai Chi. It's existed for over 10 years, and it's got a very interesting group of people who run that organization. I used to be more involved than I am now. And then another one is called the Qigong Institute, qigonginstitute.org. Wow, that site is just loaded with information, qigonginstitute.org. And then there's another really interesting one that's just popping up right now, and I hope everybody will have a look at it. It's called Into Mountains Over Streams. It's kind of like a Taoist poetic approach, philosophical approach to Qigong and Tai Chi. The email address for that, or the web address for that, is imos-journal. IMOS standing for Into Mountains Over Streams, -journal.com, imos-journal.com. A really interesting website. And then Lama, I'm sure that you'll probably give your website as we're going out here, but I really want to just reflect to people who are listening that, you know, the work that you do is, we live in a complex world, and there's a lot of layers to how things work and how things don't work and how people do find things and how people have to, you know, work their way through to what it is that they are destined to fulfill. But it's very obvious that you have a sincere interest in supporting people in their well-being and in their empowerment. And so I want to just give you a thumbs up and a shout out, as they say. Thanks for all you do.
Well, thank you, Roger. I really appreciate that. And also, I'm sure our listeners appreciated a lot of what you shared with them today. First of all, the invitation and encouragement to heal themselves. Once again, awakening the healer within is what Qigong is about majorly. There are many other aspects to Qigong, but it's a major component to it. And I want to thank you very much for sharing about your work and about your interesting collaborations with many people. I think that you are one of the most prominent Qigong promoters in this country, and definitely kudos to you for that. Once again, you've been listening to the interview with Dr. Roger Yanke. This is the Secrets of Qigong Masters, a radio talk show sponsored by Academy of Qidao, which is the first and so far only school in the world offering professional training in Qigong coaching. To find out more about it, please visit www.qidao.org. until next Monday. Have a wonderful time. Good night, everybody.
Good night.